Movie Marks.
This week on the show, several reformed yet misunderstood criminal animals attempt to become good, with some disastrous results along the way. Sam Rockwell, Marc Maron, Craig Robinson, and Awkwafina star in The Bad Guys. But Sacco, I had trouble finding wrestlers in this one.
Kramer, that's the new animated film. We were supposed to be watching just Bad Guys, not The Bad Guys.
Oh boy, that's going to be a problem. We're the Movie Marks, and today we're grappling with Bad Guys, No The, starring Sergeant Slaughter.
Welcome to the Movie Marks, the podcast where we discuss movies starring professional wrestlers who act like amateurs. I'm Chris Sacco, and as always, I'm joined by my tag team partner, the Angelo Dawkins to my Montez Ford, Chris Kramer.
Oh, man, you're going to be the superstar, and I'm going to be the guy that's a good hand. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty fond of both of them. But yes, one is clearly... In every tag team, there has to be a Jannetty, and in this one, there is one Jannetty. So...
You know what's unfortunate? The whole Rockers situation really ruined tag team wrestling in WWEF forever, because now every single tag team, someone has to decide who's going to be the breakout to ruin the tag team so they don't exist anymore.
Yeah, they're almost constructed that way at this point with a, you know, a few notable exceptions. You know, whatever, the Viking guys,
yeah,
and the Good Brothers. Like, you know, those are just tag teams forever, FTR.
Right, they're never going to do anything beyond that.
Right, but every tag team that's kind of put together, they're almost constructed that way, that it's almost like the one guy needs to work on his in-ring stuff, so they pair him with someone who isn't great, you know, in terms of charisma, and that's the guy that's always going to get left behind once the other guy is a better wrestler, you know?
Yeah. Man.
Before we get to today's... non-animated bad guys, we have some listener feedback into the Movie Marks toll-free hotline. This is from Mike, who is writing in about our Jingle All the Way 2 episode. Kramer, you remember that one?
Wow.
That was our...
I barely remember that one, but yes.
That was our Larry the Cable Guy and Santino Marella movie. And here's what he said. I actually watched that movie not that long ago.
Wow.
And think it's better than the original.
Mike, you're not allowed to listen to the show anymore.
Well, no, but listen to his reasoning. He just thinks that many people overrate the original because it's a movie that they grow up with. So not our usual snark from a listener. So thanks for that, Mike. And I've never seen the original, so I can't judge, but I feel that he might be right.
Yeah, you do believe that about other films. So that is something in your wheelhouse of belief. But with that being said, no movie starring Larry the Cable Guy is better than another movie.
I mean, to be fair, though, the original stars Sinbad. So are we saying that Larry the Cable Guy is that much worse than Sinbad?
We are, because Sinbad's a national treasure.
I think there's a good chunk of the country who would say the same about Larry the Cable Guy.
Different podcast.
Alrighty, Kramer. So, well, thanks, Mike, for actually contributing to the dialogue, unlike most of our emails, which are either spam or just trolling us.
Yes, Mike, I will allow you to continue listening to the show.
Alrighty, Kramer. Tell us. Well, first you have to go watch the correct movie, and then you can tell us about Sergeant Slaughter and Bad Guys.
All right. Put in a time jump sound effect while I do that.
That's staying in, too.
Better. Bad Guys. Bad Guy. Oh, good start for me. Hold on. Our film today is Bad Guys from 1986, maybe 88. I don't know. Somewhere in there. It was directed by Joel Silberg, who has directed a few movies, but the most, and I mean this loosely, famous movie he directed was Lumbada, which, for those that don't know, in the early 90s, there was dueling films about the Lumbada, the forbidden dance.
Which, I am unfamiliar with his work. Which Lumbada did he direct?
The one called Lumbada. The other film was called The Forbidden Dance.
Wow, this is a complete blind spot for me. Do we need to do a Lumbada podcast? Because
We might have to. We could do a podcast of movies that came out the same year on the same subject, which happens every so often.
Oh, like that year that we had two asteroid movies.
Yep, and the year we had two Columbus pictures.
Right, and we had two, oh, this is great now. We had the two flood movies. Do you remember the two flood movies?
Yep, and not forget the two volcano movies.
That's right. Wow, why does this happen?
It's because everyone starts making a movie, and then some studio's like, oh, they're making that movie? We're going to make it sooner.
That's great.
All right, so we open up on a guy driving a sweet 80s pickup truck through L.A., one of those ones where they have little faces on all these lights on top of the truck that only exist in the 80s.
And in movies.
Yeah. The credits are rolling over this this nice little drive through Los Angeles. Sergeant Slaughter listed in the credits as Sergeant Slaughter. So
very
respect.
Cool. Very cool.
And the end credit goes to Alan Rich as Luigi Constantine. And I have no idea why that man got the and spot.
And can I ask a follow up question about that? What character is Luigi Constantine?
That speaks well of this movie. He is the promoter that is paying everyone towards the end of the film.
Oh, wow. Wow. Never seen that guy in my life, and the character is completely unimportant.
Yep, but he got the end. Like, he's like the big guy they brought in, the heavy hitter.
Wow, that's wild.
So we get ourselves a quick car chase where a motorcycle police officer is chasing this pickup truck through the streets of Los Angeles. We don't know anybody's name yet. The guy driving the pickup truck, though, is making bizarre sound effects while he's running away.
Yeah.
Like, da-da-da-da, while driving recklessly through the streets.
Yeah. I this opening scene and the way that credits are constructed, was this a TV, like, pilot? Because that's what it feels like.
No, this was a released for cinemas.
Wow. That's, the 80s were such a wild time, man. That it's just so weird that this got made and then put out and it exists. It's so weird.
Yeah, and it aged quite well too, didn't it?
Oh boy.
Eventually our pickup truck gets to a parking lot. The police officer catches up with him and yells at him for speeding, but then he says, "But we're late." The officer says, "We're late? Let's go." Guys, I think we just met our titular bad guys.
That's right. It was a work. So I have a question. So we're meant to believe that the cop is chasing this guy in the car, in the truck, that's a criminal. Does that mean that, like, the cop guy, or the guy dressed like a cop, was like, okay, get a head start, and then I'll pretend that I'm chasing you?
Yeah, this was some weird role play thing they were doing.
This is so stupid.
Also, we're going to find out that both these gentlemen are cops, which means that they were recklessly driving through the streets of Los Angeles on purpose, endangering people.
Yeah, like we're not, I mean, we're kind of underselling what this chase is. This chase is, like, crazy. They're doing, like, skids through intersections, and, like, this is not like they're just going fast or something.
No, they're doing your classic jumping over hills, over cars.
Yeah.
So we get to the arena, we find out, and it's a wrestling event going on. And this is a top-tier 80s wrestling crowd. You got people with noisemakers, megaphones, assorted wrestling grannies and grampies in the audience. And in the ring, there's two people wrestling, and I couldn't find their names in the credits, but they were two of the oldest professional wrestlers I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, they were conservatively in their mid-70s.
Yep. And they were having a solid match. They had to be real workers. I could not find their information. So we find out that our police officer and truck guy are actually here because the truck officer is a professional wrestler. He is Dave Atkins, played by Mike Jolly. That is the gentleman that was driving the pickup truck. Mike Jolly does not have a picture on IMDb, so his career has gone well. But then the actual man dressed as a cop is, great name, Skip Jackson. And he is played by Adam Baldwin.
Yeah, Skip Jackson, the long-lost young buck. Adam Baldwin, the fact that he was working that long ago is remarkable to me. It's, like, astonishing. 1986, the guy was still It's, you know what it is? It's because he's always looked the same. Like, he still basically looks like this, except for, you know, the hair is different, obviously. But he still basically looks like this, and it's been 50 years from this. So this guy just never ages.
When I saw it was him, it blew my mind, because I legitimately didn't think this guy existed till the 2000s when it came to acting.
We're not talking about Adam Baldwin, for those who don't know, is most known from, like, Firefly, and he was on Chuck, and now he's... He pops up in all these, like, small character roles, and he's a big guy, and he's got, like, dark hair. And in this, they have him in a bleach blonde surfer boy look, and it looks absurd.
Yeah, if you have probably seen him in something. If you are listening to this podcast, you have seen him either in Chuck, Firefly, or SVU.
Yes.
No one has seen Firefly, so it probably wasn't that.
Everyone has seen Firefly. God.
All right. So Dave is booked because he is a wrestler. He is having a handicap match for some reason versus a team known as the Sidewinders.
Great. Great, great random name for a team. Has no meaning, but I love it.
Nope. That's most of the team names in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why he was booked in a handicap match, but the good news is, Kramer, that this is one of our favorite movies because this is a world where wrestling is real.
100% real.
Yeah.
The only way it should be in any film.
That's right. Keeping kayfabe alive.
The Sidewinders are actually the pair of workers known as Budokan and Pistol Pete Marquez. Great 80s wrestling names.
Yep. Better than the Sidewinders.
So the Sidewinders beat the piss out of Dave for the entire match.
Mm-hmm.
He even gets put in the classic Foley head between the ropes flip spot.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Pretty cool.
Then the Sidewinders attack the ref and complete chaos erupts. I don't know if there was no disqualification at this point. We're losing it here.
Yeah, it was pretty loose. We should say right at the start that by a mile, the best part of this movie is the wrestling.
Oh yeah, this movie is chock full of wrestling, and it's all being done mostly by real wrestlers. So the matches are pretty solid.
Yeah, they're also incredibly long matches, which is a problem for a movie, but good for a mark. So I'm of two minds about this. Like, it crushes the momentum the movie has. Not that there is any, but they're all, like, full matches. Like, these are longer matches than what we saw in, like, El Santo, and that was a 2 out of 3 falls match.
And this movie is 90 minutes, and almost a half of it is wrestling. Like, actual
yeah,
wrestling.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Skip makes the run-in to save Dave. He climbs the top rope, yells his catchphrase, "You're busted," and jumps on the Sidewinders. And they get the big win. I don't know how they won. There was a lot of outside interference. The ref got... This is like an ECW match.
Yeah. Speaking of ECW matches, so this is a... I don't know if it's a co-production or if it's sponsored by the AWA, correct?
It definitely had to have been money from the AWA.
So are all of these talent were working with AWA at the time this was made? Is that
Yeah, because if you look any of them up, they all had runs in the AWA. I didn't match the time frame, but it had to be.
Yeah, because in the credits, they do thank the AWA. It doesn't say, like, produced or anything, so I don't know if it was just, like, a handshake deal, like, let us use your people.
This is going to be an episode where the wrestling listener is a little bit more interested, because we're going to talk a lot wrestling. If you don't know, the AWA was company that was on the verge of being really big. Like, they had toys.
Yeah.
They had a bit of national, like, coverage. It just never fully went all the way.
But then they just got washed away because, you know, when you're
Vince did Vince.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens, you know.
So the match ends. Big win for our heroes, Dave and Skip, which, you know, no heroes should be named Dave and Skip. And on their way out, they run into Janice Edwards, a sports reporter for the local newspaper.
Sure.
She is played by Michelle Nicastro. She's super excited by the team of Skip and Dave. Like, it's blowing her mind that they are the greatest wrestlers/gimmick she's ever seen. She doesn't believe wrestling is real, which Dave is offended by, because clearly it is.
Well, that's what's confusing. Well, first of all, she's a reporter who wants to be an agent. I didn't get that. Also, she's doing the 80s thing, which was in vogue, was to poke fun at wrestling not being real. But in this world, wrestling is real. So are they trying to create a dichotomy where people who say that in the real world are also equally as stupid as her because wrestling is real? Is that what the film is trying to create, Kramer?
if you believe that this movie had the wherewithal to believe to put that into it, then yes, that is what this is creating.
Fascinating. A plus.
Yes, as we said, she is a news reporter who I guess quits her entire career for these two men because that never comes up again.
Yep.
Not even mentioned. Like, there is never. Why even make her a reporter to begin with?
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. Just make her like a manager or an agent who's looking for talent. I didn't get that.
They don't want to be managed. This isn't trying to be something they want to do full time. Dave just does this to stay in shape, which is a weird workout choice. They turn her down. They're not looking to make tons of money in the world of professional wrestling with this woman that wants to quit being a reporter. Not really sure she would be the best to handle this, but we'll find out, I bet. It's time. We're now back at the police station, skipping Dave's day job, where they are police officers. And they have been informed there's a disturbance at the local bar, the Pitbull, which, if this is the 80s, you know there's about to be a biker bar fight.
Yeah. What kind of cops are they that they just get randomly called to go deal with a bar fight? Like, you know how there's, like, homicide and narcotics? Are they just, like, the brawl cops? Like, what are they?
They're part of the general chaos division.
This entire movie, here's where I realized that this entire movie is just going to be a series of uninteresting fights. Like, it's just car chase, wrestling match, bar fight. It's just one after the other. There's no, like, connective tissue.
You know, and to pile on that they are just in charge of general chaos, Skip is a motorcycle cop, but Dave is a regular patrol car cop, which usually you wouldn't team those two together. Like, they have to drive everywhere in separate vehicles.
Are they even partners? Or do they just like, we're just going to do things together? Like, all of this doesn't make any sense.
They do a lot of things together in this movie, and we'll be going over all of them. So we get to the Pitbull. It's your standard 80s biker bar fight. It's insanity. People are getting thrown in the arcade machines, windows. The beer taps get broken, and they all just shoot beer straight into the ceiling.
That guy catching the beer taps was wild. He had, like, his entire, like, little subplot. It was like a Pixar short before you get to the movie. Like, there's a brawl going on, and he's just, like, trying to, like, hold them all with the cups. I was interested in that.
If this was a Marvel movie, it would have been one of those shorts that you got as a DVD extra.
Oh, right.
That they did for a while.
Right.
Dave and Skip arrive. They go to break up this fight, but one of the bikers spits on Skip, and they add this insane echo sound effect to this spit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the fight just erupts because Skip and Dave can't be contained. They're so angry. They beat up everyone in this bar, of course. And then the other police officers show up, and that's the end of the scene. Don't know where all these other cops were. This was like a full-on riot.
How did they get there so much faster?
And somehow, we're back at the police station. I guess it's the next day, because this bar fight has made the front page of the newspaper. And the captain is not happy.
Did you see the headlines that were printed, Kramer?
No, what were they?
Okay. So one of them is, quote, brutal cops beat up local bike club, close quote, which, you know, we saw that. The other one, though, says this, quote, brutal cops maim high school students, close quote.
What?
Yeah. What scene did they cut out of this movie where they beat up high school students? What the fuck happened?
Oh, I would have rather seen that than a bar fight. They just go to like a pep rally and just start punching teenagers.
It says they maimed them.
Also, these are two newspapers. Neither of them have articles by Janice in them, probably.
Or she wrote both of those.
So, of course, the captain, not happy about this, will be suspending Skip and Dave without pay until further review. Good old-fashioned turning your guns and badges.
It's almost as though they wanted to do that cliche, but then they forgot. Because he suspends them, and then they're leaving. He's like, oh, yeah, turn in your badge and guns. Like, they had to hit,
like,
the line.
Oh, shit, I can't let them leave with their guns. Whoa. So, this is now a reverse tag team, as we covered in a previous episode. It is cops becoming wrestlers, eventually, from wrestlers becoming cops.
Kramer, I know you mentioned that in the tease last episode, but it is literally reverse tag team. Because what's coming up next is the let's each find one bad job to do montage that was in Tag Team.
Yeah, I'm under the impression that Tag Team stole from this movie.
I mean, they may have, right? I mean, it's almost identical.
They walk out of the police station. Dave says he only has $200 in the bank, and Skip says we can make that work. I don't know why they share a bank account now.
Yeah, they're cousins, right? Do they live together? There's so much.
They're cousins? I miss that.
Well, they are. They do mention at one point one of them is like, "I know you're my cousin, but if you weren't, I'd be your brother." You know, it's something stupid like that. That's the other thing. You're not talking about it because honestly, who cares? But there is no like development of any of these characters or stories, and every line of dialogue is simply there because they need to tell the story of the plot.
Yeah, this is definitely how you could think it's a TV like pilot.
It's a really sort of mind-numbing experience to watch this.
Oh, man. You're going to be disappointed when we get to decide if it's a good movie or not. So, we have our job montage coming up. Job number one, it's construction. And, of course, they lose this job because Skip can't keep it in his pants with the wife or secretary of the foreman. I can't tell what this character is.
She's just a woman who is walking around in not much clothing on the construction site. Don't know her purpose.
Correct. Skip goes and starts to, you know, be with her. And the foreman loses his shit, like, to a level that is insane.
And that's the other thing. They've not established previous to this that Skip is, like, a ladies' man.
No, not at all.
No, he was just a guy. Now, suddenly, this is part of his gimmick. Like, if they had established that this was a problem for him, like, it would make more sense if they were losing these jobs because of their temper, which they established was an issue, but that's not what's happened. Now, suddenly, they want to turn him into, like, a Romeo.
Yeah, and they get fired from this job and then immediately put many workers' lives in danger as they drive the pickup truck over people's heads. So this might be why they really should be getting fired from the police force. They are constantly putting civilians in danger.
Yep, that is accurate.
And since now it's Skip's turn to pick a job, since Skip is such a ladies' man, it's time to be exotic dancers.
I mean, geez, with this.
They go to this strip club where they are now strippers. Their entire act is them stripping while doing wrestling moves.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like these putting each other in full Nelsons. It's real interesting.
I mean, unlike when they drive to crime scenes, this they for some reason decided to do simultaneous exotic dancing. Yeah. Kramer,
they're a tag team.
This scene, no, it's copyright infringement, different movie. This scene goes on forever, this dance scene. They're on stage for like 9 minutes of this movie dancing.
It's you know what? It's just another match in this movie.
Yeah, what the fuck even is this movie? Who is this for? You know they were filming this and they were saying, man, none of this is funny, none of it is exciting, none of it is interesting. Let's keep rolling. I don't know. Who is this for?
This movie is for me as a child that would have found this in afternoon cable, much like I did Body Slam.
This is don't besmirch the legacy of Body Slam. This is not even as good as Body Slam, man. Not even close, in fact. Spoilers for the three count.
They are doing all this dancing to a sweet disco version of Soul Man.
Great.
Which is pretty cool. And was this when you didn't have to pay for songs to be in movies?
No, it was the 80s. That was a free-for-all. Everyone was giving their shit away. This was like the era when they realized they could make money by giving it to other people.
Skip and Dave are so good at stripping that this place goes full riot for them. Women are running on stage. Other strippers are throwing them from the stage back into the audience.
It's ridiculous.
It is insane. So they leave. They've made a ton of money here. Dave is against this. He has moral objections against this. I guess that's our development of characters here because Skip's all in.
Yeah, you know what? That is great depth. Can't wait to see the sequel.
Oh, man. We can get that made.
Add it to the list.
Doing it. They leave the strip club. At the same time, Dave's truck is being repossessed, which is good timing because they get a ride from a pair of women from the strip club. And these two women make advances on Dave and Skip, to which they are rejected, and Dave and Skip are thrown out on the side of the road. That's it.
Why does this scene exist? Do you know, like, it's not funny. It's just so weird. Like, there's these two women who are, like, all over these guys, And then the guy, you know, we've established that the one guy at least is like a hound, and he rejects these women, and then they get thrown out of the car. Is this just a joke because the women are a little bit older than them? Is this just an 80s ageist thing?
Yeah, that's definitely what that is. And then this is their way of showing these two have hit rock bottom, so there's only one option left.
Okay, I guess.
Listen, you are not giving this movie the credit it deserves.
I think that's going to be a recurring theme. Hey, Kramer?
Yeah?
Did I miss in the background of this dance club scene? Was Sergeant Slaughter in the audience of this strip club scene? Is that why?
No, he wasn't in the audience. He'll be okay. In the audience soon. He's in an audience. He's coming. Don't worry. His name's on the poster.
Okay, yeah, no, because I kept looking for him and he wasn't. Okay, fine.
No, he's definitely in this movie. He's on the poster. He's the third billed name on the poster.
Okay. All right, yeah, I just didn't know if I missed him here. Okay, fine. Come on, go ahead.
He's coming. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I got you. Okay. I got you. So they decide that now is the time to call Janice so she could quit her job as a reporter and become the manager of two professional wrestlers. And now our movie can really begin.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you can.
So these people were like, oh, let's do dumb construction work. Oh, let's do dumb stripping. They had this card in their pocket where this woman said she could make them lots of money. They didn't think to call that person first, doing something that one does recreationally anyway, and the other one seemed to be pretty good at the first time he tried it. Why were they doing this other crap?
Because plot.
All right. Anyway, they call her. Go.
So she immediately is able to get them booked on a show versus the Kremlin Crushers.
Yeah, great.
To which she also invites Lord Percy, another manager. So I don't know if she's trying to sell them off to this man already.
Yeah, I don't know what she wanted to be. I think she wanted to be like an agent that she then like can. Yeah, you're right, though. It's kind of like, what are you selling at that point? But yes.
They do say that Percy is a little shady, so I got a feeling that that's going to come into play pretty quickly.
And Percy, this actor, is like hamming it up with like a, you know, an over the top posh British guy character. And he is like a perfect 80s wrestling manager.
Oh, 100%. He's an actor. His name's James Booth. Done some stuff. But he has got the monocle, a suit, a cane.
Yeah.
He's British. If this guy was an actual wrestling manager, we'd be talking about how memorable he is as a wrestling manager.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
So the match, it's match time. Our team, which have not been given a name yet.
Yeah, the one of my favorite things of this match is when the ref is like giving them like the instructions. You know, he says to them, you know the rules, you know the wrestling rules. Thanks, ref.
We meet the Kremlin Crushers. They are played by a pair of wrestlers named Jay York and Alexei Smirnov.
Okay. This might just be that I don't remember properly. Is one of them Crusher Khrushchev? Or one of the, you know, one of that trio of wrestlers from NWA?
They are not.
Okay, but one of them was in Body Slam, is that correct?
Correct, correct. Okay. Or we could be wrong right now, and we will get an email.
No, this was the guy that was only in that one scene, right? He got punched into a fountain or something?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, man, you remember a lot about Body Slam.
Yes, I have total recall of all our films.
I'm sorry. That sounds like a nightmare.
It is. This is my existence.
The best name, though, in this match is our referee, whose name is Choo Choo Cardona.
Is he any relation? Is he always ready like his ancestor?
His ancestor?
Or what's the inverse of ancestor?
I don't know. But he does also come out to a song by Downstate.
Progeny? Is it progeny? Offspring? Descendant. That's the word I'm looking for. Descendant. Is he always ready like his descendant? Does he like toys? Is he married to Chelsea Green's ancestor? I'm going to keep going with this.
Fuck. Okay. So it's actually, like we said, it's a solid match. The Crushers dominate most of the match. But they do lose by disqualification, so now DQs are in play.
Yeah, I don't really know what they did. Is just because they didn't observe the five count? It seems to be a pretty loose disqualification, no?
Yeah, no, they kind of just get thrown out. I mean, the biggest move by our heroes is that Skip gets in and rolls around the ring like Sonic the Hedgehog for a few seconds.
That was pretty cool, though. That's like something like Mustafa Ali would do now. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know what? Our heroes, way ahead of their time.
I think, actually, a lot of the wrestling was kind of ahead of their time. Like, they were doing, like, combo body scissors and stuff. It was pretty cool, some of the wrestling.
Yeah. At some points, they're doing, like, you know, topes and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it actually was pretty advanced.
Yeah.
Back out in the audience, Janice is very excited because, you know, her guys won. And Percy's excited, too, because he's ready for the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
But he chooses the Crushers because they got DQ'd. And there's only money in being a bad guy.
Yeah, this whole thing is going to be real confusing. So just buckle up for that, listeners.
Oh, it's going to be real confusing because going forward, this movie says the words bad guy a lot.
Ooh, did you count it? If this was my movie, I would have counted it.
I did not count it.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm not on your level.
Just real quick, I want to point out that the music over these wrestling scenes is so bad. It's like NES music from the same time period in the 80s, but not for the games that are good. So we're not talking like Zelda NES music. We're talking like, you know,
Bible Adventure.
Yeah. good call. I used to play that game, and like I could never get the baby out of the bush. I don't know what Bible story that is, but there's like you got to grab a baby out of a bush, and the game, it's like impossible. You got to like find the bush. I don't know. It's a different podcast.
It's a different podcast, but I will say you were the first person I know that had that game. So
oh, I didn't have the game. No, I played it on emulator at a mutual friend's bootlegging.
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. This was recently.
Yes, yes. No, I was in my 30s when I tried this.
So tough luck, Dave and Skip. Percy's only looking for bad guys. So Janice thinks the only way to get them to the next level is to make Dave and Skip bad guys.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
So they find a bad guy to train them in terrible Turk McGurk and his lady wife, as they say in the movie. They say lady wife.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Could you, like,
Petal McGurk.
The word wife implies lady, right?
But that's Petal McGurk. So it's Terrible Turk and Petal McGurk.
Who plays the Turk McGurks?
All right, so Petal McGurk is played by Ruth Buzzy. Buzzy is a comedy legend.
Great.
Actually.
Yep.
She was nominated for Golden Globes like 5 times. She won one, all for Laugh-In.
Yep.
If you don't know what Laugh-In is, ask your grandparents.
Laugh-In is a forgotten show that was like so great and probably wouldn't be funny at all right now.
No, but it's one of those shows that was before like we were born, but worked its way into syndication on like Nickelodeon, so we kind of have like a footprint of idea of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, her man husband is Terrible Turk McGurk, and he is being played by Gene LaBelle. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know who Gene LaBelle is, you will find out later on in this episode, wink wink, a little bit more about Gene LaBelle.
I popped hard when I saw Gene LaBelle, which is stupid, but I did. I was like, holy crap.
I mean, you're a mark. You're a wrestling mark, a movie mark, as we both are. Gene LaBelle is a pretty big deal, actually, if you don't know who he is.
Yes. He's still alive, which is just crazy. He looks like he's about 100 in this movie.
He is considered the grandfather of modern grappling.
Yep. He's Bryan Danielson's, one of his finishing moves is the LaBelle lock.
Yep. But like I said, we'll be finding out more about Gene later. Wink, wink.
Oh, God. You're not going to hear me the rest of the episode. I'm just going to be Googling.
So they get in the ring. Skip and Dave get in with Turk and Petal, and they beat their ass with assorted bad guy moves. hair pulling, choking.
You know what's funny? You're saying bad guys a lot because the movie says it constantly. And usually we get excited when the movie says the name of the movie in the movie. But they say it so much, all the excitement is gone.
Right. And they say it to reference different people and
yeah.
things and not
and
even
concepts.
Just humans.
Yeah. It's just like it's amorphous. It's a meal they had. Oh, bad guy meal. You know, it's everything.
We also find out here that Turk wants revenge on Percy for something he did to him at some point. That's never really clear.
Nope. Needless backstory.
And we are renaming our heroes, Skip and Dave, as the Boston Bad Guys.
Sure.
to which they said, we've never been to Boston. And Petal says, who gives a shit?
Yeah, and also, they don't call them that for the rest of the movie.
Nope, they don't call them the Boston Bad Guys. They get costumes that are not Boston-y at all.
Dude, what the fuck was that? That's my note. When they finally get costumes, it's not like they're wearing, like, ball caps or dressed like lobsters or some shit.
I would love if they were dressed as lobsters.
I mean, but that would at least make sense, right?
Yes, and then they could fight the Lizard Brothers from our episode on Tag Team.
If this is a connected universe film, I would be very excited for that.
So, of course, what would an 80s movie like this be without a training montage?
Yep, training montage. Kramer, that has the best song I've ever heard. Did you like the song?
Are we talking about Bad Guys?
No. That's the song over the closing credits. The training montage song is the Snap Dance song. Did you hear it?
No, I didn't really put it together.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, so here are the lyrics, Kramer.
Okay.
Snap dance. Look around while you snap. Let your fingers do the talking. Let your legs do the walking.
Say what?
It's great.
So snap dance is literally just walking and snapping your fingers?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
All right. We are about to go get costumes for our heroes. We will be skipping this entire scene because it was the 1980s and it was highly offensive. But you know what we won't be skipping, Chris?
What?
A trip to Jungle Ed's Sideshow and Circus, located in the empty field off of exit 35A, north of Santa Monica, south of Milwaukee. The family will love the thrills and excitement of seeing lions, giraffes, the tattooed man, the human eel, Pixie, the world's tallest, shortest Cyndi Lauper tribute act, and the main event at Jungle Ed's, Zamora, the human gorilla. So get the family, gas up the station wagon, and head to Jungle Ed's. Every Wednesday, free popcorn with purchase of buckets. Anyway.
Did we pick up a sponsorship that I didn't know about?
I don't know what you're talking about. So, it's time for the Boston Bad Guys' first match.
While we won't talk about the costume scene, do you want to describe the costume the Boston Bad Guys are wearing? The Boston,
yes.
Because they're from Boston, so what do they wear as from Boston?
Well, as you said, it's not lobsters. They're not dressed like the Celtics. No, they're dressed like Attila the Hun.
Yeah. What? They have like a fur mink base. Yeah.
And this costume at times includes or doesn't include a mask to hide their identity.
Yeah. What was that? So then they put on this mask that's like a Attila the Hun mohawk that cut like a lucha mask with a mohawk. And then everyone knows who they are anyway because their captain's like, you know, stop wrestling. But they were wearing fucking masks. So what? Anyway, we're jumping ahead. Go ahead.
And they don't even wear the masks like more than once.
No. They wear them for like one. Whatever. Go ahead.
We head to the arena for the first match for the Boston Bad Guys. Also on this show are the Crushers, and they're having a match against the second best name in this movie, the Arkansas Sodbusters.
Yeah, what is that?
It's hard to tell, but the Sodbusters are played by Jack Armstrong and Chief J. Strongbow.
Yes, I did notice that. I like that. It is difficult to tell, but they are billed, so...
Also here, we find out that Turk has taught Skip and Dave the claw, but it really never comes into play that often.
No.
And seeing as you didn't notice it, this is where we first meet Luigi Constantine.
Oh, okay. See, now it makes sense. Yeah. Prestige billing confirmed.
Yes. Percy is there showing off the Crushers to Luigi, to which Luigi is very impressed by them. And Percy wants Luigi to sign them to be his only two bad guys, which seems like bad booking for his territory.
Yeah, I wish this made more sense.
Do you wish anything in this movie made more sense or just this?
I mean, because it's a mildly interesting, I mean, we should just say it right now. The wrestling and the characters of the Turk and the McGurk are the best part of this movie by far. But that's like mildly interesting that if you have like baby faces, whether or not you want to keep it kayfabe, that they need to like get an edge so they become heels. That's mildly interesting. But all of this, like, well, we want to hire them. And then there's like levels of hiring. So there's the reporter who wants to hire them to the manager who wants to give them to the promoter. It's like, what the fuck is going on? It's needlessly complicated.
Yes, this is actually an episode of Arliss. So the Boston bad guys are on their way to the ring. Percy's trying to keep Luigi from paying attention to them. It's fine. Also here, we are now having our worlds collide as Murphy Green, the lead biker from the fight earlier, shows up at the show.
Whatever.
And we find out that he was trying to convince the bar owner to sell that bar to Percy. So we have another thing here where Percy also owns bars on the side.
What is... So is his last name like Applebee's that he's like he's trying to franchise? What the fuck is this plot? Why is this guy from an early... It just doesn't make any sense. Because they kept saying his name, like Murphy Green, which is a stupid name anyway. They kept saying it as though it mattered to me. And then he pops back into the movie. I'm like, who is this asshole?
And this is actually one of the times where Skip and Dave are wearing their masks. But it doesn't matter because Murphy's there to fight them because he knows it's the cops from earlier.
Exactly. What is the secrecy?
And he does refer to them, though, as jerk bastards, which I'll be using more often in my everyday life.
Yeah, that's not bad.
The Boston bad guys have their first match. It is against a pair of good guys who are the Padres.
Sure.
Who are receiving the AWA Sportsmanship Award.
It's great that that's a thing.
And, of course, the Boston bad guys, they're bad guys, so they use that award to attack the Padres and call a and cause a another their second riot of the movie. Also here we're meeting Percy's bodyguard, who's played by Toro Tanaka.
Yes.
great cameo, and he's never really does much in this movie.
No, they reference him a few times. They call him the professor too, because he's, you know, Professor Tanaka. I popped hard, just like with LaBelle. I popped, and Tanaka might be the most prolific actor that is a wrestler, like, ever, right?
Oh, yeah.
Except from, like, El Santo. He's been in hundreds of movies, but we can't cover any of them because this is the character he always plays. He has no dialogue.
He never says anything.
Yeah, he's not, so, like, it's a lot of the roles like this, but unlike Sergeant Slaughter in this film, we can't cover it because he's not in it enough, whereas Slaughter is a major part of Bad Guys, so.
Yeah, he's, like, Slaughter is pivotal to like everything in this film, and Tanaka's just kind of there.
I have a follow-up, Kramer. Is Slaughter, yep, one of the Padres? Is this where he enters the is he wrestling in the scene? Because I might have missed it.
No, he's there, just he's coming up. You're gonna see it. Okay. The whole thing, I mean, this movie is just linchpinned by Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh, because you said earlier starring Sergeant, so I was just okay. No, it's fine.
Yeah, no, he's third billed, so okay, don't worry about it.
All right, cool.
Yeah, don't worry about it, we're getting him. So now Percy's evil plan includes having Murphy the biker sue the police station for $10 million.
Yeah, I actually thought this was kind of funny. This is like the only thing, because it's so dumb. They have all these like big brutish guys. It's a wrestling movie, and their big plan is to sue the city. I thought that was kind of funny.
And the captain tells them to quit wrestling and lay low because we do not need this. I don't know why they're still reviewing these two. Because it seems like this is way too much of a headache to have them stay cops.
Why do they keep bringing them back to the police station? They were suspended pending an investigation, and he brings them back to tell them, stop wrestling and we're getting sued. Like, this has nothing to do with them at this point.
Well, have you learned from previous films, like our Dolph Ziggler film?
Countdown?
Countdown. It lives inside your mind forever.
Yep.
Once you are suspended or fired, you're allowed to stay working.
Check your email, get a package with too many stamps, you know, that sort of thing.
Realize that the entire movie has actually been taking place down the hall. You've been going everywhere for no reason.
Yep.
See our previous episode.
Countdown, good episode. Better movie than this. Go watch Countdown.
All right. Janice has set up another match for the bad guys, the Boston bad guys, against the Texas Rangers, which is coming up. Skip and Dave, despite being told to not keep wrestling, just like not being cops, they keep doing it anyway.
I like the concept, too, that where basically it's a, you know, an American League baseball contest about to happen, the Texas Rangers and the Boston Bad Guys. And I like the concept that the reason they were making them bad guys and giving them the Boston moniker is because they were apparently touring the South. You know, the Texas Rangers are the good guys, so the people from the Northeast were the villains. I like that.
We get some scenes now at Percy's mansion where the Crushers are swimming in matching Russian bathing suits. Keep that gimmick going.
So when you take on someone's contract to wrestle, they move in with you? Is that what this movie is?
Yes. If you are a manager, much like Bobby the Brain Heenan, the entire Heenan family split a co-op.
This I love this because now I'm picturing like the Powers of Pain and Akeem living with Slick.
Every morning they wake up like the cast of Newsies, sliding down like stair rails and, you know, shaving together in one giant sink.
So you're saying that the Blue Meanie and the other werewolves in Curse of the Wolf all shared a manager and that's why they live together?
Correct. That's the only reason people live together.
All right. It's great. You know what? This is a fascinating world I want to dive into.
So they're hanging out at the pool. They're just, you know, doing some general talking about how much they hate the Boston Bad Guys. Conveniently, their TVs now features a music video by the Boston Bad Guys out of nowhere.
What the fuck?
And they are barely in it. It's mostly Jean LaBelle, Janice, and Petal just being cavemen and women, hitting each other with tree trunks.
Yeah, where is the Massachusetts stuff? They're like breaking out of like concrete or something. It doesn't make... It's so desperately trying to pretend to be like Cyndi Lauper and Rock and Wrestling. It's
yeah.
So desperate, but I don't get it. Why did they produce a music video? This is apparently the former reporter's plan for promotion. Who is she promoting to? Why is this happening?
What channel is this on? What were they watching? What time? Why is this airing at all?
It's just, I mean, was this during a commercial break of Burke's Law? What's going on?
I don't know what's happening here. Because also then Percy calls Luigi again to tell him to change the bad guy's match for some reason. Who knows what's happening anymore? We have them getting kicked out of their match. So the bad guys now, the Boston Bad Guys, sorry, they go to an arena where the Crushers are having a match. And now they are no longer dressed like cavemen. They are dressed like Patriots, like Evil Knievel.
They also, they're wearing, they walk to the arena in like tracksuits.
Yep.
Like silver tracksuits that say the bad guys on the back. So they have the name of the movie on the back. It doesn't say Boston. It's just.
Now we've dropped the Boston part, much like everyone loses their first name in WWE.
Right. It's very. So they're doing, I guess, a run-in, but they're also booked. I don't understand.
Yep. They get there and do a run-in on the Crushers. You probably missed it. I think Slaughter helped them doing a run-in. Well, don't worry about it.
No, I don't think he did. I think I would have noticed that.
Nah, you missed it. You probably were, you know, looking down at your notes.
Oh, so he's earning that starring billing you gave him, I guess.
Third lead in the film. This chaos between the Crushers and the bad guys doing a run-in inspires Luigi to make the bad guys the other team in the finals of a tournament to win the AWA tag team titles.
Okay. I completely checked out of all that exposition.
Yep, they didn't have to win this tournament, which the bad guys have not wrestled in at all, I guess. They are now in the finals. So they got a bye after a bye after a bye. There's also been a very light subplot of Skip thinking that Janice is really into him.
Oh my God, who cares about this stuff?
And they set up to go on a date right before the big match versus the Crushers. And Janice then also invites Dave on the date without Skip knowing. So we have a weird, you know, like sitcom-esque, I invited you to here at the same time date.
But you know what? This was my favorite part of the movie, and I'm going to tell you why. Because this movie, much like all movies in the 80s, is terrible to women. It's terrible to gay people. It's terrible to people of other races. But this moment is like the only moment where they don't treat a woman the way these movies usually do. because she says to them, are you guys crazy to think I would date either of you the night before our big match? So she's the only one with a clear head, and she basically punks them. I love that. That was my favorite part.
I mean, honestly, she is the smartest character in this film.
Oh, by a mile. She's not much of a character at all, because no one is in this movie, but I like that this wasn't like, oh, she just blindly falls in love with one or the other. It's actually not her arc at all. And spoiler alert, neither of them end up dating her in the movie. She just stays neutral in business and professional. It's great.
Or possibly they both end up dating them. It depends. It's
get
up for
your head out of the gutter.
Oh, we'll get to the ending of this film.
Yeah, let's get there quickly.
Nope, we still got another 2 hours to go. You haven't even heard my swerve yet.
Oh, God.
All right, so also, this scene doesn't make a ton of sense, because usually these scenes exist in films and TV to get the two people that weren't getting along on the same page, and Skip and Dave are never really, like, at odds with each other.
Right. I mean, they try and tease it a little bit. It's like a light Sting Luger feud, where one wants to kind of go back to being a cop, but it's never, I mean, not for a second do you ever think their partnership is in danger.
No, because even when they do have, like, small fights about it, the next scene is always them, like, working out together or something. Like, they're never separated.
Right.
Oh, man, that does remind me of nothing but week after week of just trying to find out if Sting or Luger were turning on each other. That was every Nitro for 6 years.
It's great. It's great. It's one of the greatest storylines ever told.
She doesn't want to date either of them. It's big match time. It's time for the main event. So, the bad guys, they're on their way to their last match. They are no longer, who knows what their gimmick is anymore at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on here. The Crushers and Percy are at the arena with Luigi, but the Boston bad guys are not there yet. I don't know when they planned on leaving, if they had any idea what time the show started.
Well, they got detoured by Murphy Brown, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Yes, Murphy Brown. So they leave their house, the Boston bad guys, and Murphy Green and the gang show up, and we get our second car chase of the film.
Yep.
Which is actually pretty violent. There's shotguns involved
and
stuff.
Yeah, what is that?
Like, this just went to a place, this next few minutes of this movie get dark out of nowhere. They chase them down to a warehouse and kidnap them. Our heroes are now kidnapped by the bikers on their way to the show. The bikers string them up to the ceiling and just beat them with baseball bats while they bleed out. So it's definitely no way our heroes are getting out of this, right, Chris? No, luckily our heroes are saved because the police show up for no reason.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how the police knew they were there. I don't know. Yeah, I just don't get it. This and now suddenly their captain is like their biggest fan. Or something.
The one Skip asks the captain, how did you know we were here? And his response was, we're cops. So the movie didn't even want to explain it.
I just don't get it. It's a series of unconnected scenes over and over. That's all it is.
So it's time. Skip and Dave, they are on their way to the show. It is time for the big match. I hope they get there in time. We're introducing the Crushers. They're on their way to the ring. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the main event. It's the big match. And it is 67 minutes into an 86-minute movie. And we are introduced to Sergeant Slaughter as sitting in the audience.
Yes, the star of our film is playing himself and is just going to watch.
Yep. This is exactly like Flair's appearance in Body Slam.
It is exactly like that, except you told me he was the main character. So, fuck you, Kramer. Thanks.
Sacco, he is the main character. He is third billed on the poster, right above the quote from the New York Times that says, there hasn't been a movie like this since Rocky V.
Yeah. Rocky V? Rocky V wasn't even out yet.
I'm sorry, Rocky IV.
I don't think
but
Rocky
there is
IV
a quote,
was out yet.
There is a quote on the box that this movie is on par with Rocky.
You're lucky that LaBelle is in this movie, because that's saved this, or else I was going to be very pissed that I didn't see more Sarge.
Oh, you are going to be very pissed? You put us through the Ava Marie incident.
She was in more than half of that movie.
She was in 15 minutes of that movie.
No,
and she
wasn't.
Her head caved in.
No, we did the over-under. She was in 41 minutes, and she actually had dialogue in that movie. Sergeant Slaughter waves.
He has dialogue which may or may not have been dubbed by someone else's voice.
Yeah, that's not his voice. We know what Sergeant Slaughter sounds like. That's not Sergeant Slaughter.
There is a countdown until the Boston bad guys are disqualified, which is okay. There's a lot that happens in this match that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Also, the police pull their car directly into the building.
Yep, that seems illegal.
And there's a giant cage.
Yeah, another lawsuit from Murphy Green coming. Why is there a cage? Why? So I'm very confused here. So they the Boston bad guys, who are not the I don't even know what the fuck they're called anymore, but they come out dressed like Marcus Bagwell in like Stars and Stripes or whatever. And I'm so confused because the entire premise of the movie was that to be big time wrestlers, they had to be the best bad guys. But now they're not bad guys anymore, right?
Nope, no, they're doing an Americans versus Russians gimmick.
But out of nowhere, they never established that. This feels like spoiler for those who don't know his life, Adam Baldwin is like a ultra-conservative guy on the internet now. This feels like no, I have to wear a flag at some point.
Well, I mean, if you're going to team with Sergeant Slaughter, you got to be a patriot.
I mean, I'm okay with that in theory, but why wasn't that because now it's not just like they're doing this. Everyone in their entourage is doing it too. Turk is wearing all flag gear. It just doesn't make any sense.
No, he's dressed like Uncle Sam.
Basically, yes.
So the match begins. Slaughter's enjoying this match. Thanks for stopping by, asshole. They do introduce Slaughter, though, as a G.I. Joe. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that. That was fun.
The match is going on. Dave gets the claw on the Crusher. Finally, the claw's coming into play. Tanaka finally gets involved and jumps in the ring. Again, rules very light here.
Yep.
This is where Slaughter finally decides to be part of the movie, full on. And he gets in the ring and also does a run-in.
Yep. He's like even in the odds because Tanaka was thrown in there.
Yeah, and what does he do to Tanaka? What's he give him?
He gives him the Cobra Clutch, of course.
Of course he does.
A pretty sick looking one, too.
I know. It was pretty nice. Hey, listen, he might not be in this movie for long, but he makes an impact when he gets here. The Crushers start to use the American flag as a weapon. So, of course, they're bad guys. To which Turk takes it from them and hugs it while they beat him in the ring. This should be a statue in Washington, D.C. It is one of the most patriotic things I've ever seen on film. This is also where Skip hits a Tope Suicida in 1980-whatever, so pretty impressive.
That just might be us showing how little we know about actual 80s wrestling. Like, we were ruined by the McMahons. I guess this type of wrestling was just everywhere except where we watched it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, we saw
true.
El Santo doing this stuff 20 years before, so maybe we just don't know what good wrestling is. Maybe this is teaching us more than we realize.
Yeah, if you've been in the Stamford fold for all those years, you are used to just shoulder block, drop down, body slam, pin. And the Boston bad guys, they're going to get the win here with their finisher, which is a top rope sidekick and diving sunset flip. Pretty impressive.
Pretty good. Like we said, the wrestling is good. This is actually another pretty good match. It's chaotic. It's good. It's just, it's incredibly long. It's like a 13-minute match. It's like a whole match.
But of course, America wins. Russia loses. Slaughter leads the crowd in a USA, USA, USA. And of course, the bad guys get their job back. The police arrest Percy, I guess. Things are wrapping up quick and fast right now. The Boston bad guys both pick Janice up on their shoulders and kiss her, so that is a three-way relationship now.
Get your head out of the gutter. They kiss her on the cheek. It's like a celebration thing. Stop.
And, of course, our film ends on a freeze frame, transition to credits, but not full credits because half the screen needs room for the hit music video, Bad Guys, by the all-girl band Precious Metal.
It is wild that... Much like Body Slam, this movie was so 80s that they had to have a title song. It's just great.
And good news, listeners, it's on Spotify.
Of course it is. It's not only on Spotify, it is on my playlist as we speak.
Bad guys! That's pretty much all the song is. I don't know what the other words are most of the time.
No, it's great. I mean, if you like 80s music, the music in this, like the lyrical music in this, it's all great.
Talking about the bad guys!
You nailed it. You nailed it.
That is the end of our film. Any final thoughts on Bad Guy starring Sergeant Slaughter?
Yeah, I have a few thoughts that I'm going to talk to you off air. But did you watch the closing credits, Kramer?
I watched most of it. I did not pay attention, as I always do not pay attention to them.
All right, good job. So I'll just highlight some of our wrestling credits. One of the wrestlers in the I believe he was one of the Padres, maybe, was played by Peter Maivia Jr. What's that? The Rock's uncle, I guess?
The junior part's throwing me off, but I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, no, that's not, because he was, High Chief Peter Maivia was Rock's grandfather, right?
Correct. Yeah, so then, yeah, you're right. Okay, makes sense.
The wrestling consultants were Vern Gagne and obviously Gene LaBelle, which that's why the matches are pretty good. And of course, the person who receives last billing in the credit list, billed as playing wrestler, is none other than Kurt Hennig.
Yep, I saw him on IMDb. I looked in this movie. I could not tell you where he was in this movie.
I am going to assume that he was Adam Baldwin's stand-in in the matches.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they had similar hair. I mean, Kurt Hennig is a lot bigger. Even then, he was bigger. Oh,
you know what? I actually, one of my notes, I didn't mention it, but I did say that Baldwin had a nice drop kick.
Yeah, so I think that's who Hennig was playing.
Yes, this was definitely some kind of money laundering scheme by the AWA by the time it was over.
Probably. It's a weird thing. I mean, I don't know much about the production history of this, but I don't know if this was a Body Slam knockoff or if it just kind of happened at the same time or, you know, what was going on. Obviously, it's, you know, this was all because of Rock and Wrestling, but...
Yeah, I mean, it is... I know you don't like the comparison, but it is Body Slam. It's got the Rock thing. It's got a band in it for no reason.
No, it is. No, I like the comparison. The comparison is apt. It is. It's the same type of movie. It's just not as good a movie.
No, but if we could somehow have made this into the joined Body Slam Bad Guys tag team universe, be pretty cool.
I mean, that would have been great only because we would have got to see Piper play more than one role.
Ignorance is bliss.
And now, Kramer, it is time for Ignorance is Bliss, which is the segment of the show where we ask people what they think these movies are about, but they only get to know the name of the wrestler in them and the title. We did get a few submissions for this one, but they were all pretty generic because of a title like Bad Guys. And my father's submission runs a little bit long today, so we're just going to let him take center stage and hear what he had to say.
All right.
Hey, Dad.
Hello, Chris.
So before we get to today's movie, another listener has written in to ask you a question.
Okay.
All right. So Nick wants to know if you watched wrestling as a kid, since it seems like you haven't seen any in the last 40 years or so.
He's probably right. The only wrestling I watched was in the 1950s, and it was nothing like it is today.
So this is me now, a follow-up. Who was your favorite wrestler in the 50s?
Oh, man. I got his name at the tip of my tongue. I can't remember his name right now, but there was one famous wrestler, and my grandfather and my father used to sit over there screaming at the TV, which was about 10 inches at the time.
Was it someone like Vern Gagne or something like that?
No, I really cannot remember the name, but he was a famous wrestler.
Well, we're going to have to dig into the archives to try and track down who this could be. So I want to say it was Bruno Sammartino, but
yes.
Even a little, it was Bruno, because he's younger. He didn't wrestle in the 50s, really.
And then it's got to be somebody else, but I do remember them watching Bruno Sammartino. So I remember my father going over there. I forgot what night. What was it, Wednesday night or Thursday night? And I used to sit there and watch him scream at the TV in Italian.
Well, we're going to have to pull up old archival footage and have you watch it just to see.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's it. I was forced to sit there.
I mean, if it was the 60s, which it could have been.
Yes, because, you know, I was, what, about, I was... 1960, I was 10 years old. Oh, don't tell my fans about that.
Well, you just said it on the air. I mean, if it was the 60s, it could have been San Martino. He was sort of the mid 60s to the mid 70s. So
exactly. I remember I was at least 10 years old, probably my early teens before I started on venturing on my own.
All right. Well, there you go. So if we ever hit a Bruno movie, well, we'll be sure to include you in that. So you ready for today's movie?
I'm ready.
Okay, I want you to tell me about the movie Bad Guys. And it stars the wrestler Sergeant Slaughter. What do you think that's about?
That could be any number of things. I mean, you could go the whole gamut with bad guys. They're probably gangsters of some kind, you know. And that's basically what I'm going with. They're the bad guys or gangsters. You know, gangsters is not a current term, so I guess bad guys is the more updated version. Of a gangster.
Do gangsters consider themselves bad guys?
No, they don't, actually. They don't consider themselves bad guys at all. They consider they're just making a buck.
So why would the movie be called Bad Guys if it was about the gangsters?
Well, everybody else thinks they're bad guys.
So who is this movie focused on? Is it focused on the law enforcement trying to get the gangsters, or is it focused on the gangsters?
I think it's just focused on the gangsters. Of course, law enforcement is always their nemesis. But I think it's focused on the gangsters and how they operate.
What type of movie do you think this is? Do you think this is something like The Godfather, a drama? Do you think it's more of a...
Godfather was about gangsters, but it wasn't primarily focusing on what they actually did. It was more of a family type of thing, how the family interacted. So I would think it's about the deals that they had going on. And, of course, gangsters had rivals. They were always fighting for supremacy as far as territorial.
We're going to take a detour here because I'm not sure you know what The Godfather's about either.
Well, The Godfather's about gangsters, definitely. But The Godfather dives into the family dynamics of the gangsters.
Yeah, but the entire premise of the movie is about a gang war between them and rival gangs.
Yes, yes. But in other words, it gets more in depth. That's what made it so popular, because it gets more in depth as far as the characters, the families, the mother, the interaction between the siblings and stuff like that. With this movie, I don't think it doesn't sound like it would go that far.
The wrestler in this one is Sergeant Slaughter. Who do you think Sergeant Slaughter is playing?
I think he's one of the gangsters. I don't think he's the head gangster, but I think he's one of the gangsters.
So just sort of a side character?
I would say, yeah. Well, he's one of the major side characters. I'm sure he's big, and he's called upon for certain activities. I'll put it to you that way.
Have you ever heard of the wrestler Sergeant Slaughter?
I've heard his name. I cannot visualize him. I never really watched him. I probably heard him, you know, while you were watching one of the wrestling.
Oh boy.
So a little peek behind the curtain, Kramer, and to the listeners, this little recording session with my father spawned a multi-day feud between he and I, in which he was sending me articles to support his theories on wrestling and The Godfather. It got quite complicated, but we'll start by just talking about the call itself. What was that all about?
I don't know what was going on. I love that your father, as a proud Italian man, believes that gangster is an offensive term.
He thinks the term that replaced it is bad guys. I don't know. So, I mean, we could start with the thing with Bruno Sammartino, which is fine. But, you know, he definitely told me that he was watching this in the 50s and then immediately was like, yeah, that's what I meant. The 60s.
Yeah. 50s on his 10-inch television.
So fine. He remembers Bruno Sammartino. And then I guess, this is just a guess, I don't know, I guess that just had then Brooklyn, New York in the 60s on his mind, because that's where he lived. So, of course, it had to be a mob movie. I think he thinks there was some correlation, right?
100%. First of all, I don't know if mob is offensive to your father. Be careful. We're a pro-mob podcast.
I think because he knows a lot about sort of the mafia, I think that's why he was so adamant about these things. But his knowledge of The Godfather is limited, clearly, because, yes, it involves the family, but the whole thing is because they get into a war with other mafia families because they won't do certain criminal activities. So I don't know why he was, you know, insistent that that was why what made this different.
You questioning your father on if he understands The Godfather, like, I've not heard him get this upset on our show.
It was a fascinating journey. And for me, you know, you listeners only got it for 5 or 6 minutes. For me, this has been ongoing now. So
I love the fact that our podcast is not only ruining this friendship between us, but also your relationship with your father.
Well, you know, you always talk about the ulterior motives you have for starting this podcast. Maybe that's why I started this, just to systematically destroy all my interpersonal relationships. Alrighty, Kramer. That was ignorance of bliss.
All right. So let's find out if this film did for the New England scene what Bruno Sammartino did for young Italian children. It's the three count. First up, Chris, easy one. Is it a wrestling movie?
It sure is.
It's such a wrestling movie. I mean, this was made by the AWA. It stars Sergeant Slaughter. He's on the poster.
You know what's most frustrating about this crap you're giving me about starring Sergeant Slaughter? Is that all of the other wrestlers are probably in it more than Sergeant Slaughter. Like, even the ones that we're not even talking about, like the Sidewinders, they're probably in it more than fucking Slaughter.
Yeah, but did any of them star on a cartoon?
I mean, honestly, probably.
Yes, there is that one episode of Advanced Dungeons and Dragons starring the Tennessee Sodbusters. Why did I pull that cartoon out of my ass? Like, yeah. No one knows that cartoon existed.
Yeah, that was super strange.
Yeah, that this is really going off the rails now.
Yeah.
The clearest, second easiest question, is this a good movie?
No, this is not a good, this is, I mean, it's not, it's barely a movie. It's a series of interconnected crap.
So Family Guy?
You know, it's funny. You mentioned Family Guy. One of the people billed in the credits as, like, I don't know, script supervisor or something is Peter Griffin. I noticed that too.
That's always weird to me. Like, one of the producers of Price is Right is Adam Sandler, but not that Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Now, my answer, is this a good movie? It's not awful.
Oh, come on.
If I was a kid and I saw this movie, just like I saw Body Slam, I would have good memories of this movie existing.
Okay, well, first of all, that doesn't make any sense because you're not a kid. Second of all, this is a... No, that's not how this works. That's not
how this works.
No, it's not. That's... No, that's like saying, I don't know. No, that's not how any of this works.
All right, you know what? I'm not going to say it's a good movie, but I'm not saying it's a bad movie.
Kramer, I'm gonna reveal something to you. I actually fell asleep while watching this, and that has never happened to me before on covering our shows. And we've watched some bad, long movies. This movie is 86 minutes, and it is the slowest 86 minutes of my life.
Oh, so you slept through all the parts with Sergeant Slaughter, and you're complaining to me?
No, because as soon as I realized that, I rewound because I'm dedicated to the show, but...
So, yes, it's not an awful movie. That is the final opinion of the movie marks as a joint statement. That will be going on the box below. There hasn't been a movie like this since Rocky. So, with that being said, where on the card are you putting this film?
I mean, I'm tempted to, because this, let's real talk now. This might be the worst movie we've watched, like the worst real movie we've watched. This is a terrible, terrible movie. I'm tempted to make it a jobber, but because it's only 80 minutes and there's so much wrestling in it, I'm gonna let it be on the card and I'm gonna put it in the opener slot.
I feel like you're just doing this to get back at me after I said that Royal Kill was the worst movie we've ever seen.
No, but the difference is Royal Kill's not a real movie. Royal Kill is some guy. It's true though. Some guy had a camcorder and he bumped into Eric Roberts.
Had Paparita's
and gave
phone number.
Yeah, he bumped into Eric Roberts, gave him a few bucks, and was just walking around DC filming stuff. So that's not a real movie. This is a real movie, and it's terrible. But fine, opener.
Okay. Well, as we agree, as always, this is a solid lower mid-card flick. It's a time filler tag team match on your card. Solid, but you're not going to remember it.
That's fair. I won't disagree with that.
And now, much like Sergeant Slaughter being third billed on this film, it's time for the swerve.
This is the swerve.
I got a feeling you're actually going to be pretty good at this one. But this week's swerve is going to be called Getting to Know Gene Gene the Grappling Machine.
I don't know a lot of trivia about him, so I don't know how good I'm going to be. Let's see.
All right. Well, I will give you something about Gene LaBelle. You need to tell me, is it fact or is it fiction? All right, first things first, easy one. Bryan Danielson uses a move called the LaBelle Lock.
I mean, that's fact. I said it earlier.
Yes, it is. I'm giving you easy ones. All right, well, how about Gene ran the Hollywood territory for the NWA?
Fiction.
That is fact. Him and his brother Mike ran the Hollywood territory.
This is going to be one of those things where everything is fact.
You don't know that. That could be fiction. Gene LaBelle was the referee for Muhammad Ali versus Inoki.
Oh, that's interesting. So I've actually seen that match.
Match in quotes.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
Crab walk shin kicks.
I'm going to go fact. Why not?
That is fact. He was the referee.
I did not know that. That's cool.
That is very cool. We're learning a lot today. Gene has appeared in 3 Elvis movies. Each film, he plays someone that starts a fight with Elvis.
You know what? I'm going out on a limb here. Fiction.
Incorrect. This is fact.
Damn it.
Which makes sense if you think about it, because Elvis was a martial arts guy, so he probably hung out with Gene LaBelle. He has known Ronda Rousey since she was a baby and trained both her and Roddy Piper.
Fact.
That is fact. LaBelle was arrested for the murder of private investigator Robert Duke Hall. The private investigator's apartment contained a number of recordings that led to the resignation of the Beverly Hills chief of police, as well as recordings of Richard Nixon and his campaign.
There's a lot of stuff in there, but I do know that this was a thing that happened to LaBelle, so it's fact.
This is fact, and unfortunately, you ruined my ending joke. Because my last question was, is Gene LaBelle still alive?
Oh. Fact, he is still alive.
That's right. He is 89, still alive, and officially the most interesting man in professional wrestling history.
I mean, he might be. I mean, there's, you know, he's something of a controversial figure.
I mean, just everything about this man sounds made up. But
yeah.
It's pretty backed up by a lot of people. Like, there's things I didn't even talk about that are still insane.
Yes.
I mean, he's trained Chuck Norris, yep. Bryan Danielson, Ronda Rousey. He was trained by Vern Gagne and, like, the Crippler. Like, this man is fascinating. But with that being said, you did pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, given that everything you were telling me was fact, and I clued into it at some point.
Well, here's the problem. When I thought about making fiction ones, none of them were as good as this man's actual life.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, Sacco, we have done the job for Bad Guys starring Sergeant Slaughter. What do we got next?
Well, as the listeners know, every time I pick a movie, I like to reveal a little bit about my co-host, Kramer. And so for this week, I'm going to reveal a little something that, I don't know, might be embarrassing to Kramer, and I hope not too bad, but whatever, I'm going to say it anyway. I don't screen these. So for most of his childhood and into adulthood, Kramer wanted to be a spy. He would walk around his house, tiptoeing through hallways. He would roll behind couches so that no one could see him. It was all so that he could be as stealthy as possible in his future career. So as a treat to Kramer, we are going to be watching the film Active Stealth, which stars a Movie Marks alum, Terry Funk.
Yes, Terry's back. Also, Active Stealth is the worst name I've ever heard for a movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty bad, but...
Also, I don't know anything about this. I hope he's the spy. I hope he is doing these spy things.
I don't even know if it's a spy film. I'm just, it's stealthy, so I went with that.
That's true. I'm just picturing if James Bond was done with Terry Funk.
Oh, that would be great. It's walking around with a cattle prod. This is available on the YouTube, so feel free to check it out right after the episode.
Well, I'm excited for that. You know, I'm a big fan of the Funker, so.
That's right. We haven't done enough Terry Funk. He's in a lot of stuff. We gotta start double and tripling up on the Funker. But that does it for us here this episode. You can subscribe to us on Apple Pod. Miss that
one. Send us an ample deposit.
Subscribe to us wherever you're listening now. Apple, Google, all the other stuff. I'm not going to try and say the word podcast. You can follow us at Instagram at movie.marks or on Twitter at movie_marks. If you have suggestions for movies we should cover, you want to talk to us about this. Have you seen Bad Guys? I can't imagine anyone on Earth has seen this. Or if you've seen Active Stealth, you want to do Ignorance is Bliss, you want to do anything, email us at themoviemarks@gmail.com. And of course, we are still actively seeking corporate sponsorship. Like we said, we'll take money to do positive reviews of bad movies. We don't care about that. We'll do, I mean, sponsorships for, I don't know, the AWA. Are they still around? They probably still exist in some capacity, right?
I mean, the closest we have is there is a line of WWE figures that rip off their old Remcos.
Okay, so we'll sponsor that. although I feel that would lead to a whole bunch of legal problems for us. The moral of the story is, send us money. Until next time, I'm Chris Sacco.
I'm Chris Kramer. And we're the Movie Marks.
Never made us those bad.